We're looking at money matters, and over the next 2 weeks, we want to just speak into this area, and it's proving to be very prophetic with the firing of our finance minister this week. And so we want to just focus on this area and see what God's word has to say to us and to be encouraged. And next week as we gather, we're going to break bread, pray for each other in faith that we would see breakthrough in this area in particular. And so, Lord, we pray this morning as we come to your word that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And so just a few introductory comments this morning before we get into God's word. We've been saying through this Gospel Revolution series that the gospel is not just how I get saved, but the gospel is really about the whole of my life. The gospel should affect the way I treat my family, the way I go to work, the way I handle my finances, the whole of my life. And the Bible has a lot to say about finances. In fact, there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible on finances, on the whole subject of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And so, friends, when I realize how generous God has been to me, when I realize what God has done for me, it really releases me to be generous. When I realize that God gave his only son, where God gave his own son for me, then I begin to realize how good God is, and it changes my heart so that I can be generous as well. And so our generosity, our giving, and our view of finance is all affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is amazing. And it sets me free from the power of money. One can actually say in South Africa, the root struggle we have in South Africa is not racism really, it's money. It's the love of money, the greed that's in people's hearts that leads to racism and leads to oppression and leads to all the things that we see. And so this whole thing of money is huge. And every time I give and every time I come under the gospel, it basically sets me free from the power of mammon. Because mammon and money says, if you worship me, I will provide for you and you won't need a heavenly provider. And God really becomes plan B or plan C in your life. And so when we get into gospel giving and we get into gospel receiving, it breaks that power over our life, which can be very, very powerful. And we see that throughout the world today. You will always invest where your real treasure is. You'll be declaring, this is really where my treasure is. And when you give to God and when you get caught up in God's way of doing things, you begin to invest in the kingdom of God, not in this material world alone. This world monetary system functions on the principle of buying and selling, making profit and laying up treasures on earth. But God's economic system functions on the principle of giving and receiving and laying up treasure in heaven. Hallelujah. And I don't think we realize that always, that one day when you get to heaven, Jesus will be our greatest treasure, but there will also be rewards laid up for you in heaven according to how you've lived on earth. So your true riches are really in the future. They're laid up for you in heaven one day where we will receive the rewards for the way we've lived on this life. And so I'm really asking you to view things differently, to look at things differently when you look at finances. And not just to be affected by the ways of this world, not just living according to earthly values, which really damages us and holds us back from the purposes of the kingdom of God. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, let's go to Matthew 6 now. And let's just look at a few verses there this morning. Matthew chapter 6. And so I'm really going to be preaching on the Lord's Prayer this morning. But before I get that, and part of this introduction, just have a look at a very interesting verse there in chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So your heart follows your treasure. And what's really important for you. But then look what Jesus says next. "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now, why does Jesus jump from talking about money to talking about your eyes? Why does Jesus jump from treasure to whether you can see properly or you need glasses? Why does he jump? I'll tell you why he jumps. Listen carefully. There's nothing that affects your vision and your sight more than being sold out to finances, to mammon, that can blind your spiritual vision. And if you get caught up in running after these things, if you get caught up with just running after riches and running after money, it can blind you to other things. It can rob you of your ability to see what God is doing. It can rob you of relationships when we run after these things. So Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Rather, keep your eyes on God and keep your eyes on His kingdom. And so this morning, that's what we're wanting to look at this morning. We're wanting to look at how do we do that this morning? How do we live on this earth as good citizens, pay our rent, school our kids, go to work, but at the same time invest in the kingdom of God? How do we do these things? And I want us to come to the Lord's Prayer as we look at that this morning. And this has become such a prophetic little mini-series because of what's happened in the country at the moment. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6 together, and we're going to read the Lord's Prayer together from verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. And we prayed in our worship time. It was just wonderful. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And this morning we're going to look at verse 11. Just that one verse. Give us today our daily bread. This is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's really teaching his disciples. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says he called his disciples together and he began to teach them. And really the Sermon on the Mount is really the way Jesus wants us to live in the kingdom of God. It's not the law. It's not Old Testament law. It's really the principles of Jesus. Jesus is saying, this is how I want you to live. You've heard it was said, but I say to you. And so his commands outstrip the Old Testament law. They take us to a higher level. And here in verse 11, he talks about, give us today our daily bread. Hallelujah. And so we find in the Lord's Prayer, the first three prayers have to do with our relationship with God and His glory. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the second three have to do with our needs. Give us today our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And friends, once we give God His proper place, we find that the rest will fall into place. And so let's take that first little bit. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus wants us to pray that. Give us today our daily bread. Daily, today, 24-hour provision. Friends, that's how Jesus wants us to pray. What He's telling us in this is He wants us to be always dependent upon Him. Constantly dependent upon Him. It speaks about relationship. It speaks about dependence. It's teaching us to live one day at a time and not to be anxious about tomorrow or to be anxious about the future. Because why? Because God knows every aspect of our lives. He knows every aspect of our lives. He knows all that we need. It says there, He knows what we need even before we ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Hallelujah. And friends, this prayer meant a lot to first century workers because they were paid on a daily basis. They were paid on a daily basis. So if you were sick for a couple of days, or you got flu for a couple of days, you were in real trouble because you didn't get paid. There was no workman's compensation. There was no unions. You got paid on a daily basis. And that's why poor people could identify with this. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Give me today something to eat. Lord, please, for my family, put something on the table today. That's why the poor are so often rich in faith. And so every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're covering the essential areas of life, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And so we ask firstly for bread to keep us going in the present. Today, I need bread. If you're banting, I don't know what you should be praying for. I thought about this. I mean, what do you pray for if you're banting and you're not eating bread anyway? We won't get into that, but these scriptures were written before banting came about. But really what they're praying for is give us today our daily bread. Lord, today we need you to help us, to give us strength for today. We need bread to keep going in the present. We also ask for forgiveness. Lord, forgive us our trespasses, and that covers my past. Lord, won't you forgive me for things done in the past? And we also ask for help in temptation so that we don't blow it in the future. So it covers my present, my past, and my future. But the good thing is that God knows what we need already. In verse 8, it says, do not be like the Pharisees when they pray, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Friends, God knows what we need before we ask Him. He knows what's going on in your life and my life. He knows what you need before you even ask Him. Hallelujah. And when Jesus told us to pray like this, He must have been thinking about the provision of manna in the wilderness. You remember the Israelites were in the wilderness. They'd left Egypt. They were complaining that they had no food. And in Exodus chapter 16, God starts getting cross with the Israelites, but He says, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide manna. And you need to go out. In Exodus 16, it says, you go out every morning and you need to collect this manna. In Exodus 16, it says, you can turn there if you want with me. Exodus 16, verse 11, it says, He says, at twilight you'll eat meat and in the morning you'll be filled with bread. And in the evening, quail birds came and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And they collected it and they ate it. It was manna. Perhaps it looked like cornflakes. I don't know. But it was manna. And this manna would fall every day. It would fall every morning. Every morning when they woke up, the ground was covered with like frost. And they'd go and collect this stuff. And they'd use it for the day for their food. And God said, don't store it because it's going to go off. And some kept a bit extra and it went off. And the next day they had to go out again. And they had to collect the manna. And that meant that we also have to get up and we have to go to work and we have to do something. And collect what God has provided for us. And as they did that every day, they were provided for. God fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. They ate manna, fell from heaven. It just fell like dew. And suddenly in the morning, there it was. And they collected it and they ate. And the next morning, they collected it and they ate. And Jesus was obviously thinking about that. And it speaks about the provision of God. It speaks about the fact that God provides for us. And friends, we must believe this in the midst of changing circumstances and politics and all that's going on in our nation. We must learn to trust Him daily. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Give it to us today, Lord. We pray again tomorrow. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we receive, we give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord. Secondly, it also speaks about finding peace in your heart as you depend upon God as well. It means that you must keep peace as you wait upon God. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Now, I know we all worry. We all worry about the future. We all worry about what may happen. But Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Don't stress on credit. Don't worry on credit. Don't worry ahead of the time. Michael Eaton says, Jesus talks about tomorrow as if tomorrow were a person. He says, let that person called tomorrow do his own worrying. Don't worry about him. Nothing will happen tomorrow without God's permission, and God will be there for you tomorrow. Hallelujah. And so we really need to learn. It doesn't mean we can't plan ahead. and all that stuff, but it really means we must learn contentment on a daily basis. Today is Sunday, the 2nd of April. I'm going to live today for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to stress about what happens at work tomorrow. I'm not going to stress about what's happening in the nation. I'm going to pray and look to God to change things and do what I can to change things. But I'm not going to stress about those things. So how do I do that in reality? Just a few areas. Number one, believe that God will answer your prayers. Church, believe that God will answer your prayers. When you ask, He'll answer your prayers. Lord, give us today our daily bread, and believe that He'll answer that. If you look back over your life, you will find as a Christian, God has never let you down. He's never let you down. Shannon and I have experienced that over and over again. God has blessed us. And God has been with us. And He's given us gifts and blessings and vehicles and all manner of things. I'm not just talking about finance, but your health and your family and your job and the clothes you're wearing and everything we have. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. And we must believe that God will answer prayer. PJ says in the Gospel Revolution, one of the biggest hindrances to generosity can be fear that if we give money away, we'll not have enough at the end of the month or for our retirement. There'll be too much month at the end of our money. You know, you put something in the offering, but it takes a while to let your hand go sometimes. We worry about these things. But the gospel says that God is my provider. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. And He will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Friends, we have to start believing this stuff more and more. We have to stand on it. And I know many of you do that. We mustn't give way to fear. God loves faith. As we pray in faith. We pray for things. I know many families here, kids are asking for bicycles and kids are asking things. It's good to say to your kids, let's pray together about that. So you don't just reach for your credit card all the time. So you know what? Let's pray for that bicycle. Let's pray for that new house. Let's pray for that new job. And let's believe God as we pray. Believe God will answer prayer. Secondly, remember what God has already done in your life so that you get ready to receive again. We're so prone to spiritual forgetfulness. We forget what God has done in our lives yesterday. What has God already done in your life? How has He already blessed you? God expects you to have to look down your life and to say, you know what, God blessed me here, He blessed me there, He did this, He did that, He answered this prayer, He answered that prayer. And you begin to build up a database of answered prayer. And that becomes a reference point. And you dip into that when you face a fresh challenge. You say, Lord, I'm praying, but I remember You did this. And I remember You did that. And I remember You answered prayer. We need to remember what God has already done. Hallelujah. We all have a spiritual history. And we need to remember what God has done for us. And give Him thanks as we get ready to pray again. We're not forgetting. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 4. Here the Israelites had just crossed the Jordan. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 15. They crossed the Jordan, bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal, and they took 12 stones, and they set them up on the side of the river. And Joshua said, when your children ask your fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then let your children know Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground, and people may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that they may fear the Lord forever. And so they piled these big rocks up on the side of the river. And people say, what are those rocks doing there? Then they would say, this is to remind us of what God has done when He brought us through the Jordan. And these were dead stones taken out of the middle of the river that no one saw before. They lifted them up. They put them on the side. They were a testimony to God's goodness. Friends, today we're not meant to lift up dead stones as a memorial. We don't worship stones or buildings, but we are the living stones. And we have testimonies in our own lives to the goodness of God. And we meant to lift them up and lift them out of our lives. And we need to declare what God has done in our lives. Particularly when you're feeling under pressure or you're feeling you're trusting God for something new. a new thing in your business or in your family, or there's a sickness or a need. You go back and you lift up that stone and you say, do you remember what God did for us? Hallelujah. And it helps you to pray again. It helps you to plot your course forward. But thirdly, it starts, and this is a big thing I'm working with at the moment in my own life. It starts with telling yourself what God has done in your life. It starts with preaching to yourself. I've been preaching for over 30 years now. And I've realized I've been better at preaching to others than I have been to preaching to myself. And I'm starting to preach to myself a lot more. And let me tell you something. It's a powerful spiritual principle. It's called self-communion. And it's a vital spiritual exercise where you talk to yourself. We sang our first worship song this morning was really, praise God, oh my soul. And we need to spend a lot more time talking to ourselves than listening to ourselves in the Christian life. We need a lot more time where we talk to ourselves. Where we declare God's truth to ourselves and we don't just listen to the fears and our hearts chatter and what's going on within us. What's going to happen next month and what's going to happen in South Africa and you know, what's Zuma going to do next and you know, instead of listening to ourselves, hang on. Hasn't God brought us this far? Yes, He has. And Craig, hasn't God provided for your family? Yes, He has. And hasn't He kept you in health over the, yes, He has. And hasn't He given you a building in Pelham where you were just in a gateway prison? Yes, He has. And on and on. And you begin to talk to yourself. You begin to rejoice inwardly. You begin to talk to yourself. It's like an inner GPS. You begin to talk to your own heart. You begin to talk to your own life. If you look through the Psalms, you'll find so often David is talking to himself. He's not talking to God. He's not talking to the devil. He's talking to himself. He says, oh my soul, why are you so downcast within me? Come on, let's praise God. Why are you cast down? Why are you fearful? He's talking to himself. And friends, we need to do this more and more and more. We need to talk to ourselves. Being thankful for what God has done. I'm learning to do it in my own life. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I realize I'm listening to myself. And my heart is starting to complain, murmur. And I think, hang on a minute. I need to talk to myself, not listen to myself. It's huge. It's huge. And you will find that it helps you. It helps you to come right. It helps you to find perspective again. And so it starts with believing God will answer prayer, really believing it. God loves faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You just read through Hebrews 11 every so often. What ordinary people did is they just believed God. Some of you are facing challenges in this congregation. I would say to you, trust God, believe God. And as you begin to believe and God gives you words and you confess those words and you pray, you'll find your faith starts to rise. You say, yes, God, I believe you for these things. Secondly, you need to remember what God has already done in your life. And thirdly, you need to talk to yourself. It's not a sign of madness. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. Have an inner conversation with yourself. Hallelujah. And finally, it says, get ready to receive. It says, give. Lord, give us today our daily bread, which means that you need to get ready to receive. You need to get ready to receive. You need to be on the lookout that God is going to bless you and meet your need, maybe in the way you've asked or maybe in another way. He's teaching you how to receive. Some of us are good at praying, but we're not good at receiving. Some of us are too proud or too secretive. Some of us say it before we pray it. You know, as they say, faith without hints is dead. Faith without hints is dead. You were supposed to laugh at that point. Some people tell their friends about their problems before they've prayed about it to God. They tell everybody else about their needs. And we must learn to tell God, and if He tells us to tell others, we can do that, but to get ready to receive from God. I had to learn this lesson years ago when I was at Bible school and I was studying, and we were poorer than church mice back then. And we started praying about our finances, and God was teaching us lessons. And one day a friend of mine phoned and he said, "How's it going with you guys financially?" And I said, "No, it's going fine, thank you." He said, "Okay," and he put the phone down. And afterwards I felt convicted. And I phoned him back and I said, "Actually, it's not going well. I was too proud to tell you. I was praying, but I wasn't ready to receive." And he said, "Well, I thought it wasn't going well. I'd like to send you a gift." And that was God's way of answering our prayer. And so I would encourage you, when it says, "Lord, give us," get ready to receive. Don't just keep praying, but be on the lookout for God to answer those prayers. And finally, and I close with this, it also says, "Give us." Not just "give me," it says, "give us." And friends, that means we're in this together. We're in this together. We're a community. We're in this together. And Rob said that so well this morning. And so when you're facing big decisions, and particularly financial decisions, pray with others. Pray with your family and pray with others. When you're in need, tell others about it. That's where small groups are so helpful. Sometimes we're alone in our struggles because we're alone in what we're going through. We haven't told anyone else. No one else knows. Did I say something wrong? No one else knows. And we need to tell others as well. We need to share our burdens sometimes, that others can pray for us and stand with us. In a church like ours, we don't want to burden those who are richer and kill them off with donor fatigue. And we also don't want to neglect the poor. But we want to be able to give and to be sensitive to one another. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, "Do good to all people, especially those from Grace Gen Church." That's what it says. It says, especially those who are part of the family of believers. Do good to all people, but especially in your immediate spiritual family. And friends, that's how Christianity spread. I'll close with this. That's how it spread in the first century. There was this, I've read you this before, but this letter they picked up from someone who wrote to a non-Christian to explain Christianity and why it was spreading so fast in the first century, wrote to this guy, Diognes. And it says, "These Christians, they live in their own country, but they live as aliens. They marry, but they do not kill unwanted babies. In fact, many of the Christians used to adopt babies that were abandoned and raise them with them. They share a table with everyone, but not their beds with anyone. So invite many people to your table, but don't invite anyone except your wife into your bed. They are poor, yet they make many rich. They treat it shamefully, but they behave respectfully. They are short of everything, but they seem to have everything. They are mocked, yet they bless in return." Friends, this is why Christianity spread so fast. It was good news to the poor, and they had a very different attitude to possessions and to money and that kind of thing. You know, it's good for you sometimes to just give money away, just to give something away. Every time you do that, you're releasing its grip on your life. As you give it away, you break its power. Hallelujah. And God sets you free. Hallelujah. And so as I draw to a close, friends, we must demonstrate in these days, and we have a tremendous opportunity in our country at this time, that Christianity is a way of life. It's not just a series of meetings. And when we pray give, it's give us. And we need to be sensitive to one another and what's going on. And a lot of that's already going on in this church. Lots of folk have been helped by others in this church. Some have employed people in this church so they've got jobs. We've prayed for people for breakthrough, financial breakthrough. Next week, I'm trusting God for significant breakthrough financially in our church and in your own personal lives. Not just about our church, about you and your own life. We'll give you things to write on. You don't have to put your name, and we're going to put it in a basket together, and we're going to pray over it for your life. Hallelujah. And we've helped a number of people in that way. Sometimes with food parcels, sometimes in small groups. And as Rob said this morning, the people that are in your life and in your sphere, the people that work for you, your domestic worker, your gardener, other people, pay them properly. Pay them properly. I've got a guy that works in my garden. I always ask him, "What do the other people in my area pay you?" So what does that guy pay you? Where do you work? So I work for that guy. So what does he pay you? I work for that guy. What does he pay you? I work for the lady down there. I said, what does she pay? He tells me. And I stay in Chase Valley. Not that I'm rich, but we stay there. It's a miracle. And there's some rich folk in Chase Valley. And when you take his transport money off, you'll find that he's barely earning 100 rand for a whole 8 hours day work in our area. And we've got some rich dudes in our area. And we need to ask people, what does it cost you to come to work? What does it cost you to go home again? And we need to care for one another. And we need to care for the poor. And especially for one another in this church. We just need to be sensitive. And we mustn't burden the rich or those that seem to have more. But we mustn't neglect the poor. We must be in this together. We're not talking about communism where we're all on the same level. Some are rich. Praise God. Jesus said, you will always have the poor among you. But we need to be sensitive as a community as we go forward. Lord, give us together our daily bread as we go forward together. And that so often happens in small groups as well, as we're sensitive to one another. It's wonderful. And so as I close this morning, let me encourage you. When you wake up in the morning, pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, give me today my daily bread. And when you go to bed at night, your evening sacrifice. We have morning prayers and evening sacrifices. You say, Lord, thank you. I ate something today. Thank you. I've got a bed to sleep in. Thank you for the clothes I wear. Thank you for my job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You give him thanks. It's an evening sacrifice of praise. Jesus said, this is how you pray. You say, give us today our daily bread. Let's stand together. Amen.